Welcome to the mikvah.org podcast. The mikvah organization has been dedicated to the education and resources for Jewish family life since 1975-5735. You can support our vital work at mikvah.org/donate. Thank you for your support and enjoy today's recording.
Welcome back to our final episode in our series on the topic of Shalom Bias. We end off the series with our last class by Mrs. Sarah Raskin. In this final episode, Mrs. Raskin finishes explaining how Adam and Chava's relationship is the roadmap for all future marriages.
We are at the point where we are starting to understand a little bit about the very first couple, Adam and Chava, how they somehow went from their perfect state, from their state of complete naivety, if we want to call it, a state where lo hayu yodim derech tzniut, where they had no idea what is appropriate, what is not appropriate, because everything at that point was appropriate. So they had no idea that there could be something other than perfection. So not that evil did not exist, but evil existed as if it was in somebody else's backyard. And it wasn't activated. And the proof of that is that it took a snake to walk over to Chava. It wasn't a feeling from within that I have a desire to eat from this fruit that God said not to eat from it. It came from an outsource, from somebody out of her body. It's not like today we have your Yetzer Hara. There's like a feeling inside of you that says, you know, I'm not in the mood of this mitzvah, or I'm not in the mood of going to synagogue or making a bracha or whatnot, because, you know, I'm tired of all that, or I'm depressed, or I'm too busy, or I don't have time for it. That's something that's from within you. But when the first sin transpired, it came from an outer source. That outer source was the snake. That was the Yetzer Hara in person, convinced the woman to eat from the forbidden fruit. And when she ate and she ingested that which was forbidden, then she obtained the inner conflict that each and every one of us is dealing with on a daily basis. And from there, everything spiraled down. And the entire world changed, and we went from perfection to imperfection. We went from a woman being a woman that, yes, will be the bearer of children, but the method was a different method. It didn't have to come with blood. It didn't have to come with pain. It didn't have to come with childbirth and difficulties, etc. The man was just, you know, initially everything, all the fruits and vegetables were available to eat and nothing was difficult. And all you had to do was pluck the fruit off the tree and it was ready to eat. And all of a sudden, even the man is going to notice an incredible difficulty to just sustain himself. And here we see Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ula Adam Amar, and to the man Hashem says, Kishamata lekol ishtecha, vatochal mina eitz, because you listened to the voice of your wife, and you ate from the tree asher tziviticha leimar lo tochal mimenu, that I've specifically told you, do not eat from this tree. Arura ha'adama bavurecha, the earth will be cursed because of what you have done, and meaning that the earth will now suffer. In fact, you're going to suffer along with the earth, that things are going to be difficult. To bring a buck to the table, to make parnasa, is not going to be simple. You're going to have to work on it, and you're going to have to work the land, and you're going to have to put your hands, get your hands dirty, and not always will the earth respond. So all of your life, you're going to be consumed, and you're going to be busy thinking of all kinds of innovative ways to bring food to the table. If that's not enough, v'kotz v'darda tatzmiach lach. There's going to be thorns and thistles that will grow in your way. While you are planting, the thorns will come and attack the plant, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. What will be your mainstay? Your mainstay will be you're going to survive on that which is earthly. Bezeat apecha tocha lechem. With the sweat of your face, but more than that, with the sweat of your eyebrow. With the sweat, meaning that what is under your eyebrow is your brain. You're going to use your brain and you're going to sweat it out and you're going to try to figure out how to create lechem. It's going to be lechem milashon lochem. It's going to be a melchama. It's going to be a war out there. How will I possibly bring food to the table? And the reason we use lechem, because lechem is the most difficult food to figure out. Your fish, you can just remove it from the water. You take a net, and there you have your fish. The animal you're going to have to slaughter, and the fruit you will pluck, and the vegetables you will pick up from the field. But bread, it takes chita, it takes wheat. You have to remove the shaft. You have to grind it. You have to sift it. And then what? Ingredients. Will they work? Will they not work? Will the bread rise? Will it not rise? You gotta figure it out. Therefore, it takes a lot of mind space, which is the biggest bracha. Sharpening our brain, using our brain, being active and working hard and recognizing that if I succeed, it's because of Hashem. We'll move on to Pasuk Chaf. And here in Pasuk Chaf, Vayikra, Adam goes on to his previous mission of naming the animals and then trying to find out where his other is, his partner might be. And so he gave her a name. And the name he gave her was Chava, ki hi haita em kol chai, because she was the mother of all living. And now they're getting ready for their mission. They're getting ready for their mission to enter an imperfect world. And when you're entering an imperfect world, things are not like they used to be. Clothing is mandatory and clothing is necessary. And when they came from Lo Hayu Yodim Derech Tzniut, they didn't know the way, the mannerism, what is appropriate, what is modest. Now they have learned. Vayipach einei shneihem, the eyes of the two of them opened up and they saw that they were arum, that they were naked. And they felt shame. They felt that this is not appropriate. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for them their first set of clothing. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, hena Adam haya ka'achad mimenu ledat tov v'ra, va'ata pen yishlach yadov lakach gam me'etz ha'chaim va'achal v'chai le'olam. Now Hashem says, behold, man has become like one of us. Because now Hashem is not the only one that recognizes the duality, the difference between good and evil. Adam has become privileged, if you wish to say, or has joined the forces of understanding what he's doing on this world, that he has to balance that duality and try to rise and always find and be on the good side, on the upside, and try to transform the evil and remove the evil and exterminate the evil and remove all of the pollution, the spiritual pollution that plagues this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says as follows, he has the ability of knowing good and evil. And what happens if his next move will be that he will also partake and eat from the Eitz HaChayim, from the tree of eternal life, and then he will live forever. What would be so bad if he would live forever? Well, if he live forever in an imperfect world, then his imperfection will also live forever. And he will never be able to move away from that imperfection. So he's going to live forever and his imperfections will grow. And so in a way, as much as it hurts, what is death? Death is a means of stopping that imperfection. It is an imperfect state. It is because of the imperfection that we have death. And we pray every single day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should wipe death from the planet And we should go back to the state of Gan Eden, of perfection. And we are so close to it, and we will get there. And we know we will get there because it did exist. We the first human beings entered a world of perfection. So it is going to come back, and we're just literally steps away. And every mitzvah that we do brings us closer. But here, we're learning, we're just in the primary stages where imperfection has just entered. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to preserve us and help us move away from that imperfection and come closer and return back to a perfect state. And so what was the next step? The next step is Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayishalcheyo Hashem Elokim Migan Eden La'avod Es Adama Asher Lukach Misham. And now is the moment of expulsion. Now is a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Adam and Chava out of the Garden of Eden. And what would they do there? They're going to take care of the fields, take care of the earth. But if that's not enough, that we see that Hashem sent them out, there's another pasuk, pasuk of Dalet, and that is Vayigarish es Adam, and he drove the man out. He was chased out, and he stationed from the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and the blade of the revolving sword to guard the way to the tree of life. So if you could imagine when a plane is about to taxi out and you have these guys moving their little torches and guiding the plane how to back up or how to come in to the terminal. That would be almost what you can envision about what happened, that these fiery swords were ushering the couple out of a perfect world called Gan Eden, and they entered a world, the world as we know it. What happened in this world? What happened in this world is that they looked around and they saw so many changes. But before we talk about the changes, we have to know what time, which moment in time were Adam and Chava chased out of Gan Eden. And here we see again the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They sinned on Friday, 3 hours before Shabbos. This little mandate, the mitzvah of not eating from the Etz HaDa'at, would have lasted for 3 hours. Because come Shabbos, on the 12th hour, Adam would have made Kiddush, he would have sanctified the first Shabbos, and then he would have been permitted to eat from forbidden fruit. Because based on certain commentaries, the fruit that he actually tasted were grapes. And in his mind, because for those that are wondering, how could Adam so quickly stoop and defy the godly order? He's, after all, God's handiwork. Why was it so hard? If God comes to us and tells us, do not, will we dare to do? But Adam had good intentions, and he knew so much about halacha, and he knew Shabbat is coming. And once Shabbat arrives, he cannot alter and he cannot fix and he cannot create. And if he is going to make the first Kiddush of the very first Shabbat, then the wine has to be perfect. Then he has to squeeze those grapes, make sure that they're tasty enough, make sure that they don't have too much vinegar, bitterness, and that he's able to actually make a bracha on them. And so based on that commentary, that was his thought, that Misha Tarach be'erev Shabbat, Yochal be'Shabbat, whoever works Erev Shabbat will have what to eat. And Toameh Chaim Zachu. And if you taste the food of Erev Shabbat, wow, that's meritorious. But Hashem said otherwise. And that was the mistake. Now, in all of this, Hashem has unlimited patience with us and unlimited kindness. Hashem said, I'm not going to chase the couple out of Gan Eden. I want them to experience the first Shabbat in Gan Eden. And so they came into a perfect world on a perfect Shabbat, made a perfect Kiddush, and experienced perfection at its highest level. And so when Motzei Shabbat, Saturday night, they were ushered out of the garden and they were hauled out, chased out, and they entered a new world. The first thing that shocked them was, wow, it's dark. Because as long as they were in Gan Eden, the lights never went out. Choshech existed, was created, was even before light, but it wasn't activated. So from the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yihi Or, it was Or. Although everything was set in motion, and he did make that separation, that it's going to be Erehi Erev, Ayhi Boker, Yom Echad, the lights did not go out Friday night. So the first time they experienced darkness was Motzei Shabbat, and they were scared. They didn't understand what this is. And so we're told that Adam picked up two stones, and he rubbed them together, and he created fire. And we, every Motzei Shabbat, when we make the bracha, Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, we remember that fire that was created through those stones, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the blessing that Adam made, the Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. And we put our fingers to that fire because something else happened Motzei Shabbat. All of a sudden, his whole body changed. Where in his naked state, his entire body was covered in the enamel that we have on our nails. Today, we have a memory of perfection. And so Motzei Shabbat, we take that memory of perfection, those nails, and we put it towards the fire to remember that we're going from Shabbat, Gan Eden, down Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'Chol. We're going down into Chol, but we remember where our goal is. Our goal is to strive to be more perfect. And so that is the message of that Motzei Shabbat custom of putting our nails to the fire. Now, they have light, but what else? They looked around, the trees were so different. The bark was no longer edible. It was no longer soft and sugary, sweet tasting. It was rough and harsh and dark and represented the harshness that is coming with imperfection. The fruit itself no longer was available at plucking. You took a tangerine and you had to remove the peel. Whether it was a grapefruit or a banana or a pineapple, everything had a peel, a cover-up, a protection because of those thorns, because of parasites and worms that can harm those fruit. The sun and the moon were no longer equal. One was less than the other. And so wherever they looked, everything changed. And they could not find a memory of perfection until they looked to the right and they saw something spectacular. But you have to look at it in this text to understand what was going on. So here we are. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, he's describing what Gan Eden looks like. We note that every single word in the Torah is so, so perfect. And we wonder about a specific wording that begs a little bit of understanding. So here we are. We have Pasuk Zion that's describing the creation of the man, and he's standing on his feet. Pasuk Chet, Vayit Hashem Elokim gam be'edem mikedem vayasem sham et ha'adam asher yetzar. And God planted a garden, the garden in Eden, and he placed the man in it, the man that he created in it. Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim min ha'adama kol etz nechmad lemar v'tov lemachal ve'etz ha'chayim b'toch ha'gan ve'etz ha'dat tovara. And God planted from the earth every tree that is pleasant to see and good to eat, and the tree of eternal life and the tree of knowledge, good and bad, were in the middle of the garden, the center of the garden. And all of a sudden, Hashem is describing what else is in the garden. V'nahar yotzei me'eden lahashkot et hagan umisham yipared v'haya la'arba'a roshim. V'nahar yotzei me'eden. The river is flowing and spilling out from Eden. What does it mean it's spilling out? So when we try to decipher and understand these words, our Mefarshim tell us that the head of that river was in the center of the garden. Umisham yipared, and from there it separated and became v'haya la'arba roshim, and became four heads, the four different oceans. But the fact that it says yotzei me'eden makes us understand that it spilled out of Eden into the world that we know now. And that is what Adam found. Adam and Chava are looking around and they note that the only creation that was not altered at all was the water, asher yotzei me'eden, that is coming out directly from Eden. And so they sat in the water and they cried. They cried because they experienced charata, regret. They cried because they were doing teshuvah. They cried because they realized how quickly they went from state of perfection to the state of imperfection. And now what? What can they do to return? And the question should be, why is it that of all the creations and the entire universe, the only creation that Hashem did not alter in any form, in any shape, in any color, in any state, was that water? Why water? The next question we ask is, we know that no two people think alike. Everybody has a different imagination, a different thought, a different opinion. And so it really is quite incredible that the entire population, every single individual, smart, not smart, talented, not talented, innovative, not innovative, everybody came to the same conclusion. Water? Water is a cleanser. When I come from the street, I wash my hands. When I finish my day, I take a shower, a bath. When I'm hot and sticky in a very hot country, jump into the ocean, jump into the pool, refresh yourself. Water represents cleanliness, refreshing. It's a thirst quencher, many properties, but it's refreshing across the board. How does everyone think of the same thing? Why? Now, people could have thought, and we know that people have mud masks, and you can roll in mud, and it could be even healthier because your skin is not going to shrivel, your skin is not going to dry up. It's actually going to maybe be more refreshing. But no, that is a mask that has to eventually be washed off because it's dirty. And yes, it does something to your skin, and it does help your skin and heal your skin, but it's not what's going to clean you and make you presentable to the outside world. So what do we say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the refuah lefnei hamaka. Mechen harefuah lefnei hamaka. Meaning that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated the chet. If he wouldn't have told Adam and Chava that there is a tree in the center of the garden, they would have never known, and the Nachash would have never known, and nobody would have known, and nobody would have cared, and it would have taken them perhaps years to find that tree. And maybe at that point, Hashem would have said, okay, that's untouchable, and it would have been okay. But the fact that Hashem made a point to let Adam know that there is such a tree, of course, Hashem knows everything. He knows how a human being thinks and how the curiosity of a human being can get the better of him, and how the snake is also listening, and how the snake was representing the Yetzirah. So everything was very precisely orchestrated so that Adam and Chava should become human beings with imperfections, with a need to correct and fix themselves and work on themselves because of their imperfection. In other words, God, Hashem, needed to activate the duality that he desired so. He wanted to activate the duality so the human can fix and bridge and make the duality that are opposites compatible. And so this is the way it transpired and happened and became. But Hashem is not going to lead us down in the dumps if there is no possibility and there aren't the tools to bring us back up to our original place. And so Hashem chose as a symbol a creation from the perfect world of Gan Eden that will not be altered. And the reason he chose this creation, because that creation symbolizes everything that we need to know about perfecting ourselves once again. It also symbolizes in every detail and every aspect of its nature, how we could possibly work on ourselves to be better people. How is that? So firstly, everything that we see on this planet, like we said in our first classes, is Bet. Number two, Aleph is the original. Aleph is the reality. And Bet is a reflection. So if in this world of Bet, of number two, the entire world has come to conclusion that water is a cleanser, a purifier, a refresher, a healing agent, a thirst quencher, then it is only because that's its original root in heaven. So let's look at the properties, the physical properties, the properties of how the human being views and sees water. So firstly, water is growth. Water is life. Water is about 84% of your body. Your skin is just a container. It holds it all together. Wherever you prick on your body, blood, the liquid is going to flow. So it's a thin layer that is keeping the flow, the life intact and flowing in a healthy manner. Now, water is clean. Water is calming. Water is movement. It's constantly rushing, flowing, and moving along with the tide. V'nahar yotzei me'eden. There's a movement there. It's going out. So now, when Hashem brought us to this point of going out of perfection into the world that we know it, he also established something incredible, a gift called teshuvah. What is teshuvah? You'll say repentance. Mm-mm. Teshuvah means tashuv, hey, return to hey Hashem. Now, why return? Because when you return, there has to be a movement. You're not returning and standing still. When you're told you have to return, you have to go somewhere. So when you're returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a tool, a symbol of what can help us return to him. So he's taking an ingredient that is perfect, that is a souvenir of Gan Eden, and he says, this will be the means to understand that you need to cleanse your soul, that you need to purify yourself, your mind, your heart, your soul, your intentions, your eyes, your ears, your speech. And so what happens is that when a woman is given the gift of her period and she has the need, at that point, it's a red stop sign that says stop. Our relationship is now going to take a whole different look, the dynamics in the relationship is going to change, at least externally. Internally, it's going to grow so much stronger, and we're fastening all the little clips and snaps. We're fastening that relationship, and it's becoming so much tighter and so much stronger. But externally, there's that hands off, back off, don't do, don't look, don't smell, don't listen. It's all these, we're deactivating all those senses that could entice us to come closer and to touch. Why? Because Hashem is reminding us through a symbol that is red, through a symbol that represents a brush of death, period, is potential life that didn't take. And he says, in this world of imperfection, in your little perfect marriage, in your little perfect world, you also need to bring in and remember about this imperfection so that that imperfection doesn't disturb and ruin your world of perfection. So we need to constantly rejuvenate and fix and improve. So at this moment, when Hashem says, remember what the world is like. Use that memory to try to help and fix the world, your little world, the world around you, by creating this state where you take a physical step back, but a spiritual leap forward. And you're going to practice a tremendous amount of self-control, but at the same time, you're going to use your mouth to express your feelings and your hands to express your action to the person, for the person, but not on top of the person. And then comes the climax, countdown, cross off those days of waiting. And my heart palpitating, and I'm waiting, and I'm anxious, and I'm excited. And it's that night when Hashem says, I want you to return to Gan Eden. I want you to return, take that plunge into perfection. How will you take that plunge into perfection? Just like Adam and Chava looked like Kodem Hachet, before they sinned. You're going to physically be totally clean. You're going to remove all obstacles, all obstructions, anything that could be deemed a chatzitza, something that is not naturally part of your skin and being. Remove that. Free yourself of that. Cleanse yourself. Physical cleansing using water. Once you're physically clean, make sure that there is nothing, a remnant, a hair that might have fallen off and landed on your back. And you enter a pool of natural water from the original waters, from Gan Eden. It can be a well. It can be an ocean. It can be a natural stream, or the modern day beautiful mikveh that was created for everyone's convenience, and nobody should have an excuse and say, I can't do it, it's too scary. You can all do it. And you walk in, and you plunge in, and you totally immerse yourself. And there's going to be a woman watching. She is God's messenger to make sure that no hair perhaps went up, stood up, and that the entire body is immersed. And at that moment, your mind is thinking, wow, I'm going back in time. And I am like Chava Kodem Hachet. And that's when you can make your bracha. You're making the bracha al hatzvila. And you're continuing to pray for anything that you need. You're in a mode of perfection. And you can bring perfection onto you. You need a child. You need health. You need a shidduch, you need anything you might pass, parnasa, whatever, healing, anything you need, this is the time. And the mikveh woman shies away, moves to the side, and doesn't disturb you. And then you plunge in once again, and another time. And every time the mikveh lady says something, kosher, kasher, what is she saying? What is kosher? We're not food, but kosher doesn't mean that. Kosher means mukhshar, available, ready. So kosher food is available and ready to be eaten by Jewish people. And now you are available and ready to resume a relationship, the perfect relationship that you have obtained with your spouse and that you crave to rejuvenate and to relive once again. You're now ready to resume because you have gone back in time to the most perfect space, the mikvah. And when you come home and you announce to your husband, Tavalti, I have immersed, the electricity is at its peak. There's an electrocution. There's an excitement. There's a need. There's a want. Because I've abstained, and so I have sustained. I have waited. I have craved. I have wanted. We both want it, and we're both in sync, and we both understand that this is the godly mandate, because in the human imperfection, there could be that danger that we grow bored. We grow into a stalemate and a plateau. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite wisdom gave us this rich, beautiful, brilliant mitzvah that keeps each and every one of us always on exciting mode, on a moment of upward tension, positive tension, excitement, need, wanting, replenishing, rejuvenating. L'chaim to all of you. I wish you all that you can feel always that excitement when you return from the mikvah. I wish you all that your spine should, you should feel like there's something crawling on your spine. There's like a shiver and a shudder, and there's butterflies in your stomach every time you approach each other, because you deserve that perfect, beautiful relationship. You deserve, you are the Adam and Chava. You have your little Gan Eden in your home. Make sure that Gan Eden always stays perfect. L'chaim.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and we hope you enjoyed the series on the topic of Shalom Bias. Have a wonderful day.
We hope you enjoyed today's recording. Please take a moment to leave a rating or a review to help others find the podcast. We welcome you to support our vital work at mikvah.org/donate. For feedback, please email podcast@mikvah.org. Have a wonderful day.